Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You've heard these terms before: hot flashes, personal or private summers, and of course, the change, all of them referring to what many, many women will eventually experience, menopause. Well, tonight, during our Medical Monday conversation, we will try to peel back the mysterious layers of menopause. My guest is Dr. Joyelle Ballard. She is an OBGYN and the author of Loving Me, Myself, and Her Through Perimenopause and Beyond. I know there are a lot of people out there who want questions answered about this really important health issue. So I invite you to call right now at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly you're welcome to tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Dr. Ballard, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Is it safe to assume that all women know about menopause?
It is not safe to assume that, because a lot of women really equate menopause to just hot flashes, but it can be a lot more going on.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And then I was going to say that perimenopause and menopause, there's a difference, and many women don't know about that either.
What is it that, other than the hot flashes, that people think that they know that they don't?
So other than the hot flashes, many women are surprised by the mental changes that can occur, whether it's mood swings. Many women can get anxiety, whether it's new or recurrent from prior history of anxiety, as well as depression.
Mm-hmm. What is it? What is menopause? Give me kind of a medical definition that laymen can understand.
So menopause is defined by a woman not having a period for 12 consecutive months, and that's when the estrogen levels are declining at that point. And that usually happens around the age of 51.
Mm-hmm.
But perimenopause is the years, or the menopausal transition is the years when they start to get changes in their periods, and then their hormones are fluctuating at that point.
Mm-hmm. Does everyone experience perimenopause?
Everyone experiences perimenopause. Everyone has a different journey, but everyone will experience some type of perimenopause.
How different is it from one person to the next? Give me some extremes.
Right. So examples of the hormones fluctuating. A lot of times their periods are fluctuating or irregular. Some women can have where they're skipping months at a time, and there's some women can have periods twice a month. So that's kind of the extremes of both. And some can have just kind of the difference in their periods in regards to the heaviness, the cramps, all that can just be new to what, compared to what they were used to before.
Why the hot flashes?
Menopause, in regards to the estrogen levels, there's a thermoregulatory center in the brain that essentially is off kilter when they're approaching menopause. And they're still studying to see why it's manifested into a hot flash.
So what is actually happening in the body? Because I have seen women in my family and friends, and certainly, as we say, women of a certain age,
mm-hmm.
who maybe sitting and just having a regular conversation, and then there is, no pun intended, a pause, and then they'll go, oh, and the people around, usually the men, they say, oh, what? And then they begin to glow, perspire, or what? I mean, it happens so fast.
Right. So there's different triggers in regards to what a woman would experience a hot flash, and it could be stress. It could be what they ate, whether it was spicy foods, what they drink, caffeine, alcohol can trigger it. And it can just be a sudden just a what we call a vasomotor response to
a what?
Vasomotor. So essentially, is a different type of what they have in the neutral, the thermoregulatory sensor in the brain that basically goes in a different direction that's responding to their hormone levels at that time.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about menopause tonight and the impact on women as they go through what many call the change, private summers, hot flashes, and the like. If you have a comment or if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Ronnie, calling from Laurel. Thanks for calling, Lonnie. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Just fine, thank you.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
So I'm going through perimenopause. I'm 49, and so I'm suffering from hot flashes, insomnia, weight gain. So I'm just trying to figure out, is there any type of natural supplements I can take versus going on hormonal replacement?
Yes, there are many different supplements that are available. And it really, when I talk to my patients, I kind of figure out what of those symptoms bothers you the most. So there may not be one supplement that can cover all of those symptoms, but a lot of times the insomnia is related to your hot flashes. So taking care of the hot flashes can essentially help with the insomnia at the same time. So there is a supplement. There's an herbal supplement called Black Cohosh you can get over the counter that you can take. There's a supplement that you can order online called Relezin that is a Swedish flower pollen extract that has been shown to help with hot flashes. So those are some the major ones that I particularly recommend to my patients as natural options for hot flashes. And like I said, in turn, should help with your insomnia. The weight gain, essentially, that's very common. Basically, being proactive about your health in general, and that includes healthy eating and exercise, can certainly help with the weight gain as well as the hot flashes. So that, too, natural ways to help with all those symptoms.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Ronnie, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is our Medical Monday conversation, and we are talking about menopause. Let's go to Margaret, calling from District Heights. Margaret, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Margaret, are you there? Okay, Margaret, give me a call back if you can. Again, 202-319-7810, 202. Do we have Margaret now? Margaret, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
go right ahead, Margaret. What's on your mind?
Yes, I have been dealing with this menopausal thing for years, and I asked one of my elder relatives, why am I still having it? And she was telling me that in some families you have it for the rest of your life. Is that my dilemma?
How old are you, and when did it start?
70.
You're 70. When did it start?
30.
Oh, wow.
So are you referring to hot flashes?
Yes.
So, yes, unfortunately, with hot flashes, there's a certain amount of, certain percentage of women with the hot flashes, as you reach further out from the start of menopause, those hot flashes typically decline. However, there are a group of women that the hot flashes can last for forever, unfortunately. So, but they typically, as far as the intensity and frequency of them, should decline as you get older. But there are some women who they just continue on.
Okay. Margaret, thank you so much for your phone call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You mentioned early in this conversation where there may be a cessation of a period for 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a hard and fast number, 12 months? This is why I ask, is it possible even as there is a decline in the number of menstrual cycles, can a woman still get pregnant while she's in a perimenopausal state?
She can still get pregnant in the perimenopausal states because that's the state where the hormones are fluctuating. The chances of getting pregnant is lower. However, it's still there because she still can have points where she is ovulating in between that. But once she reaches menopause where you don't have a period for 12 consecutive months, the chances of pregnancy is really low.
So what happens if during the perimenopausal state and you do get pregnant, you carry a child to term, does it pick back up or does that in one way or another impact the perimenopausal, menopausal cycle?
Right. Yeah, it doesn't reset. Your body will still go on to what it was going to do if you did not have a child, you know, in perimenopause. There's no reset. Your body will continue to do what it would normally do if you did not have a, you know, pregnancy recently.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We have a lot of people who are having questions. I've just got a text. Faith wants to know whether or not acupuncture is a good remedy or treatment for hot flashes. She says after two sessions, her hot flashes stopped.
That is wonderful. So yes, acupuncture is one of the complementary or alternative medicine options that some women have benefited from. So yes, I would definitely recommend acupuncture as an option for decreasing the frequency and intensity of hot flashes.
Okay. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to Nikki. Nikki calling from, I don't know where Nikki's calling from. Nikki, are you there?
This is Nikki.
Yeah, Nikki, go right ahead, please.
Hi, yes. I was calling because I got a two-part question. One is, what test do you determine whether a person is in perimenopause or completely in menopause? And two, I've had premenstrual syndromes that were diagnosed as PMDD, premenstrual dysphoric disorder, and they wanted to treat it with Prozac instead of treating it with hormones because I don't know why they don't treat it with hormones, you know, because it's an issue with the estrogen.
Let me stop you there, Nikki, so that we don't get too lost in the terms. What is she, first of all, what is she talking about?
PMDD is premenstrual dysphoric disorder.
And that is
similar to PMS or premenstrual syndrome. And that's when you can have different symptoms around your cycle or at your cycle, whether it's mood changes. It could be bowel changes, just different different things that they can happen around their cycle.
Okay.
And it can also impact their mental state, too. So some women can have increased anxiety or depression around that time, too.
Which is where the Prozac comes
right,
in.
Right, right.
Yeah, the psychotropic drug to take care or to address some of those issues. Okay, go right ahead, Nikki. The second part of your question, please.
Yeah, well, to clarify what my symptoms were, just PMS on steroids, you know, I don't know, you're married, Carol, and you know, like the week before your wife comes on her cycle, she acts differently. That's pretty much, you know, what was going on with me. But the second part, the other question was, what test can you take to determine whether you're in menopause or you carry menopause?
So that's a common question. So many women come in asking for hormone testing. So the thing with perimenopause, when you are in perimenopause, your hormones are fluctuating. There is a blood test called FSH, or follicle stimulating hormone, that essentially goes up or becomes elevated when you're menopausal. But when you're perimenopausal, that number is going up and down like a roller coaster. So checking it doesn't really give me any extra information as the physician. So we really go by what your symptoms are at that point. If your cycles are changing, or if you're getting worsening PMDD or PMS, if you are having hot flashes, night sweats, different things like that. We go by that, your symptomatology or your symptoms, as opposed to a hormone test.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to talk a little bit in the few minutes before we go into a break. Why did you write Loving Me, Myself, and Her through perimenopause and beyond? Who is her?
Well, I wrote it, number one, because I was going through my own personal journey, starting at the age of 39 with night sweats, increase in acne, and some mood irritability. And don't laugh, Harold. don't laugh.
I bet you were a lot of fun.
Ask my husband. Okay, so.
just mad at the world. Right. Why is this floor on the floor?
Right.
Exactly. No, please go right ahead.
And then also with having, you know, many patients come in having these different symptoms they weren't expecting. So I wanted to provide a resource for women to allow them to read something they can refer back to know what to expect during perimenopause and the rest of as far as menopause in general. And the her is referring to the vagina.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, so.
You weren't expecting that, were you?
No, I really wasn't. But gosh, I guess I need a disclaimer. But so why all of a sudden did you have to learn to love her? Was that an issue before? Is that.
So because she gets ignored. And as you reach into or approach menopause, she changes. And you need to be aware of those changes in regards to vaginal dryness. Some women can have increase in vaginal infections. So different things like that. So to be proactive in order to keep the vagina moisturized to avoid those symptoms as you're approaching that transition.
So explain that, because why the dryness? Why is there more of a chance of infection, for example?
Basically the lack of estrogen. So okay. Estrogen changes or basically increases a certain amount of cells that helps the vagina become more moisturized and elastic. And as the estrogen decreases, the vagina becomes thinner, and it also affects the pH, or the vaginal pH of the vagina. So essentially, as estrogen decreases, the vagina becomes more basic as opposed to acidic, and that's when women can be predisposed to having more infections at that point.
And when you say thinner, even if there is weight gain?
Yes.
Interesting. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about menopause during this Medical Monday conversation. If you are on the phone, please do not hang up. And I promise we will take as many phone calls as we possibly can, even after 7:30, as always. And of course, this podcast will be on WHUR.com after 8:30. So make sure you log on to check that out. So stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM channel 141 in just a few seconds. Again, lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We will be back in just a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 142, HBCU and Sirius XM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, during our Medical Monday conversation, we are trying to peel back the mysterious layers of menopause. My guest is Dr. Joyelle Ballard. She is an OBGYN. She is also the author of Loving Me, Myself, and Her Through Perimenopause and Beyond. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stephanie on the line. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yes. My question is, does everyone experience perimenopause? Like, because I was diagnosed with postmenopause when I was 21. So I don't recall having like symptoms. It was just like abrupt. So I'm not. Yeah. So that's what I would like to know.
Well, if you happen to go through premature menopause, or, you know, early, not early, premature in menopause, where you, whether you had to have your ovaries removed for some reason, or if you had to undergo some kind of chemotherapy, that essentially, yes, you, or if you had a hysterectomy with removal of your ovaries, that, all that can certainly put you straight into menopause, as, and you basically skip the perimenopausal transition.
What can you share with us?
Yes.
Stephanie, what was happening with you in your early 20s? Were you having some other kind of health issues or challenges?
Well, I'm not really. Well, I was underweight. So, like, I only got my menstrual, I got it when I was 17, and then it just stopped. So I thought because I was underweight, that's why. But then I was, that's when I was diagnosed, you know, when I was 21, as having post-menopause. So
How did they determine that?
I had a lot of blood work done. I went to see a reproductive endocrinologist.
Okay.
To see why I wasn't, like, getting my menstrual. And then that's when I found out that I was postmenopausal.
So did they mention premature ovarian failure as your diagnosis?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
What does that mean?
So basically, the ovaries are failing prematurely, so before the age of 40.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have a family history of that at all?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. We really appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Desire, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Okay. Art, calling from Maryland. Art, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I had a whole year of no desire whatsoever. And no matter what my husband did, nothing aroused me. It was if I was dead down there.
Mm-hmm. How old were you when you were?
I was 44.
Do you have any other medical problems?
Just high blood pressure.
Okay, so you're not on any other medications besides high blood pressure medicine?
That was it.
Okay. Well, the decrease or lack of libido or desire can happen with menopause and or perimenopause. There are different, you know, Viagra came out in the 1990s, and there wasn't really a lot of options for women until 2015 when they came out with Addy, which is a medication that women can try to help with their libido. So I don't know if your physician talked to you about potential options for help to help with your libido, but there are options out there now for women to help with a desire. And, you know, looking at other things that could potentially affect your libido, whether it's your relationship, whether it's your image of your body image, things like that can also contribute to that. So evaluating those things first, and then there's no other issues going on, then there are options in regards to helping with that.
Art, you said a year.
A year.
So what happened after that year ended?
I have, after that year, it just came back, and it was if I was 35 and hot again, and just wanted it all the time.
Okay. It just came back? No, you weren't taking any other kinds of medication or anything?
No kinds of medication or anything.
And how old are you now?
I am 67.
Okay. Well, good for you.
Good for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Erica, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm calling because I'm going through this thing. I'm going through perimenopause. I've been going through this for the last maybe 4 or 5 years or something like that. But now it's really starting to hit me. And I'm really having, like, a lot of hot flashes at night. And then it's like I'm saying to myself, you know, what's making it even worse is that because my dad died a few months ago, it's like even my menopause is just really messing with me. It's really, I mean, it's like really getting to me. I don't even want to, like, my husband, like, come, you know, sit next to me or whatever. But I won't even move. I'll just sit where I'm sitting and just stay there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry to hear about your dad. Mm-hmm. But stress can play a big part in, you know, recharging those hot flashes. So if your stress level is really high, that can certainly make those hot flashes return, you know, like a vengeance, essentially. So managing your stress can certainly help. And I don't know if you have any other medical problems, but,
yeah,
you know, we talked about potential, you know, natural supplements that can be counter that would help, like black cohosh, rilezin you can order online, things like that. Even a fish oil tablet has been shown to help with managing hot flashes. And, you know, like I mentioned before, eating healthy and exercising consistently can potentially help with all that.
Yeah, because I had, like, 6 years ago, before it all kicked in, I had a stroke.
Now,
you know, I have high blood pressure, and so I do have a lot of medical issues.
Right, right.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the things that you talk about in the book is dealing with vaginal dryness. But my question is, if a patient is experiencing vaginal dryness, is she also experiencing a reduction in libido? Are those two in any way connected? Or could she still have a high libido but still experience dryness?
So yes, she can have, excuse me, she can still have a high libido or normal libido and still experience vaginal dryness. They can become connected if she has vaginal dryness, which can subsequently cause pain when she has intercourse, and that can affect her libido, because who wants to have sex when it hurts?
Right.
So if there is an issue with vaginal dryness, we try to address the vaginal dryness first. And, you know, if she has a complaint of libido and vaginal dryness, we try to address the vaginal dryness first and improve that. And if that gets better, that ultimately can improve her libido.
Suggestions for addressing that issue. What should she use? Are there over-the-counter remedies? What?
There are over-the-counter remedies. There's something called Luvina, which is a vaginal moisturizer you can get over-the-counter that has natural ingredients in it. If you use over-the-counter things and they're still not helping, vaginal estrogen also works well if you're a good candidate for it. I mean, if you don't have a history of breast cancer or any type of cardiovascular disease that, you know, that will cause clots, things like that, vaginal estrogen works really well, too.
Okay. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about menopause and all of the things related to it. Let's go to Jay, calling from Maryland. Jay, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Jay, are you there?
Hi.
Go right ahead,
Hi.
Please.
Hi. I have a two-part question. For menopause, have you had any experience in using Ambrien?
I've had patients. You can get that online or over the counter. I have patients who've used it.
And what is that?
It's a natural supplement that you can get over the counter that helps with hot flashes and sleep with and during perimenopause and menopause. So I have patients who've used it who said that benefited from it. Some people have used it and didn't really notice a change.
Okay, because I've noticed a change.
Okay, good.
Because I had used black cohosh first and it did nothing for me.
Okay.
But I still have real bad night sweats. And I want to know what I could do about that other than using a fan constantly, you know,
right,
try to prevent catching a cold.
Right.
But, you know, sweating from the head down to the chest is like just like profuse sometimes. It wakes me up out of my sleep.
Right. Yes. Not fun. Have you, rilezin is another natural supplement that you can add on to what you're already taking that you can order online that you can potentially, you know, get benefits from helping with the night sweats.
You said rilezin?
Rilezin. R-E-L-I-Z-E-N.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much for your phone call, Jay. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I want to go back to
some of the other more specific things as it relates to menopause and perimenopause. Have you come across patients who believe that they were perimenopausal or menopausal and were not? Can menopause be mistaken for something else?
Perimenopause can. When women come in with irregular periods, and sometimes you can have these hot flashes or night sweats. Another condition that can kind of be similar to that will be some thyroid disorder. So if I'm thinking that it may not be perimenopause, I would check, you know, the thyroid hormone, because that can certainly can cause similar symptoms to perimenopause.
Mm-hmm. Other than premature ovarian failure, as one of the callers talked about, are there women who do not experience menopause, and why would they not?
So,
I'm talking about whether it be surgical or otherwise, some other kind of medical issue that may come up prior to perimenopause or during.
So you're asking if everyone would experience menopause? Yes.
Everyone?
Everyone.
Okay.
Whether it's surgical or natural.
Okay. So, but are there degrees of severity?
There are women who naturally go into menopause and get no symptoms whatsoever besides just having their periods just stop, which is wonderful for them. And there are some women who are suffering with these hot flashes, night sweats, mood swings, anxiety, weight gain. I mean, it's all kinds of, you know, the different symptoms that you can have. And some women can have the extreme of all those symptoms.
What about women who have had hysterectomies, partial or full? Would they still have those symptoms?
So depends on when they're. So hysterectomy essentially means that they're getting their uterus removed.
Yes.
As opposed to their ovaries.
Yes.
And that's where the ovaries are your source of the hormones.
Mm-hmm.
So if their ovaries are still there and they're still of the perimenopausal or, you know, premenopausal age, then they'll know they will not experience menopause at that point until they get to, you know, menopausal age, which is usually around the age of 51.
Mm-hmm.
So it just really kind of depends if their ovaries are taken out at the same time or not.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Mr. Anderson, calling from Virginia, what's on your mind?
Yes. I just want to ask, what is the severity of a woman having, I had a woman in my house. I was renting out rooms, and this woman was screaming and hollering like somebody was murdering her. And I ran upstairs from the basement and find this woman on my back porch, butt naked, and just hollering, "I can't stand it! I can't stand it!" How severe is that to happen to a woman?
Was she complaining about the heat or the hot flashes?
The hot flashes. She was just, you know, and it happened more than once.
I
mean, she was a guest in my house, but she was out on my back porch. I had to tell her, "Lady, I live here. You know, people are gonna see you."
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I mean, that is pretty severe. Most women don't have it that severe. And if they are, I mean, they definitely need to seek some medical attention to figure out what would work best for them in regards to helping with those hot flashes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which goes back to my question about the degrees of severity, because some may appear to have a bit of a glow, but even though what Mr. Anderson is describing, which is pretty extreme, but it doesn't appear to be impossible.
Right, right. I mean, there's a 10% of women probably will experience what we call severe hot flashes, where they're happening every day, very intense. Their hair is dripping, beads of sweat going down their back. They're in a meeting at work and their blouse becomes drenched.
Mm-hmm.
10% of women will have that. The other percentage of women will essentially be mild to moderate, where they can actually tolerate it. They can feel it coming on. They can, you know, carry a fan, do things like that to kind of help, you know, decrease the intensity of them.
Mr. Anderson, thank you so much for your phone call. Let's talk a little bit about some of the mental health issues regarding this. And you speak a little bit about this, you know, obviously, you know, in your book, you talk about mood swings and the like. But beyond mood swings, is depression possible?
Depression is possible. Actually, one of the chapters of my book is called The Other Woman, because many women feel they don't feel like themselves. They get tearfulness. They get more anxiety. They can get depression. They have a foggy memory. There's different, you know, mental changes that essentially can happen other than the mood swings.
Mm-hmm. How should those things be addressed, particularly when you were going through this? I mean, is this something that should be, as one of the callers suggested, be treated with, you know, psychotropic drugs?
Right. Not necessarily. It really, again, depends on the woman's history, her other medical problems. A lot of times, just focusing on being proactive in regards to eating healthy, exercising frequently, managing stress levels, and getting adequate sleep can potentially help with those mental changes.
You said in the beginning of the conversation that a lot of your patients come to you and they do not know about this. Does that surprise you?
It doesn't surprise me, because really menopause is not a topic that women talk about.
Really?
They don't. There's a lot of women come in complaining that their mother didn't talk to them about it. They, in the group of girlfriends, they don't have a conversation about it. They really don't know what to expect. And so, that's why I wrote the book.
Okay, and that's interesting, because if you're with a group of girlfriends who may very well, so there are three or four or five of you, there's always one who's going to be a little older than the other
right.
ones. So when she has this hot flash, personal summer, whatever you want to call it. So what do? That they just obfuscate, don't mention it? It's
kind of gloss over it. I think a lot of times they don't talk about it in their circles because a lot of women are embarrassed by it. And they also feel like they're the only one going through it. So they don't really like to bring it up. And they also, a lot of times they feel like it's not natural, or they don't think it's normal. So they don't want to discuss it.
Because, you know, as a young man, I was well aware of women kind of going through it. And yes, I did hear the term personal summer. But when I asked, what does that mean? And is it going to happen to me? I was no, it's menopause. It's the change. When you were a teenager and a young woman, and obviously you were in the beginnings of a medical career as a young woman. But when did you first hear about it prior to your experiencing perimenopause?
In medical school.
Really? Is that a fact? So it didn't come up.
So my mom is probably, she's probably listening. I'm going to mention her.
Okay.
She.
Call her out. Let's call. What's your mother's name? I'm going to pick up the phone. Talk about poor parenting.
So my mom was one of the lucky ones, mm-hmm. in the sense of she didn't have any symptoms. She just essentially just eventually stopped having her period, and that was it. So she didn't really, talking to her, she has older sisters and her mom, and I guess that wasn't really a conversation in her household. But as far as what her experience was, as far as going into menopause, she didn't have any symptoms. So we didn't really have that conversation.
Mm-hmm. And so when you got to medical school and you began to hear about it, what did you think about it, and what kinds of conversations, if any, did you begin to have with some of the women in your family after you learned about it?
So in medical school, to be honest, it was really a brief discussion, and even through residency, it wasn't, we didn't have a whole class on it. It's one of those things you kind of mentioned. These are things that women can potentially expect to have with, you know, menopause and potential treatments, but there wasn't a whole class in regards to menopause.
Maybe there should be.
There should be. I mean, that's a good point. And that's another reason why I wrote my book, just to have that as a resource in regards to, you know, having women become more educated about menopause.
You have very colorful titles to some of the tables of contents. But one of the things you say here, one of the chapters is a potpourri of other symptoms. What is that potpourri of other symptoms?
So in regards to the specific chapters in my book, I talk about I talk about hot flashes. I talk about vaginal dryness, libido. The potpourri of other symptoms that I get a whole chapter dedicated to is the weight gain, the acne, the dry skin, insomnia. So those are the other symptoms that I didn't particularly dedicate a whole chapter to, but the other symptoms that women can experience through menopause.
And you say use it or lose it?
Referring back to her, the vagina. So if you are not sexually active often, you can lose it.
So you mean you can lose your libido?
No. So it refers to the vaginal dryness.
Okay.
So if you're not using it often and you have vaginal dryness, that dryness will continue on. If you're more active, it becomes more stimulated, so that helps with the moisture and the elasticity of the vagina. Mm-hmm. So when you stop doing it, that all goes away. But once you restart, that can all come back.
What do you recommend? Because obviously you did not have that conversation with your mother when you were growing up. When should women begin to have this conversation with, their daughters or the younger women in their family so that they are not unpleasantly surprised?
Right. I would recommend the early to mid-30s, because perimenopause can start as early as the age of 38, 39. So if you have the conversation, at least in the early 30s, mid-30s, they can have a sort of an idea of what they could potentially expect in the next few years after that.
How long does perimenopause last?
Varies from person to person. It can be anywhere from 2 to 10 years before actual menopause.
Oh, my gracious.
Yes. So then when the prior woman who called in, she's been experiencing these symptoms for years, that certainly can happen before menopause.
What should men know about this when their partners are dealing with this? What kinds of conversations did you have, with your husband when you weren't pulling your hair out and all of the other things that referred to?
Right. So, yeah, in my book, I actually, instruct the person who's reading the book, have your husband or significant other read this chapter. And that is referring to the mental changes or becoming the other woman. So they'll know that, a lot of you men can take things personal.
No, not us. Whatever do you mean?
So it's important for them to know that we are not in control of these hormonal fluctuations that are causing our mental state to be different, mm-hmm. or our moods to be irritable or just different in general. So being aware of that, as well as the changes in the vaginal environment in regards to vaginal dryness. So, being aware of that being an issue that we also cannot control, and being patient with us for us to actually get some options and try those options so we can,
Let's go back to the phone lines. Janine calling from Leesburg, Virginia. What's on your mind? Janine, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, go right ahead.
I had a question. My cycle stopped in November of 2017.
How old were you?
I'm currently 54.
Okay.
And just last month, it started again. Now, when I, went with my doctor, she did the hormone test, my levels were low, but not quite there yet. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm done, because I didn't have a cycle for, almost 2 years. And this month, there's nothing. No cycle, nothing. Is that normal?
That is not normal. So you had, your last cycle was 2017?
Yes.
Okay. So typically, and you said you had a blood test?
Yes, she did. When I was almost like a year in,
mm-hmm.
I went to my doctor, my gynecologist, and said, hey, okay, she said, let's do the test.
Okay.
My levels were low, but not quite there yet, is what she told me. So she said I should have still been having a period, but I was not.
Okay. So if someone has no period for a year or even a year and a half, and they start to have bleeding after that, that is considered to have postmenopausal bleeding that needs to that needs further evaluation. So that would require an ultrasound or a sonogram to take a look at your uterus and potentially a biopsy in the office to determine if anything else is going on.
Had all that done. Well, I have to have it, I guess, have it done again because I do have a history of breast cancer.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Are you on?
So I do have an appointment scheduled with my gynecologist. I was just, you know, until I go and see her, I just wanted to find out all that I could.
Right, right. So, yeah, so any bleeding after, you know, like I said, if you definitely deem to have be menopausal once you've had no cycle for at least a year, any bleeding after that needs further evaluation.
Because, Janine, I have a question. When did this bleeding start again?
Last month.
It started last month.
Last month in September, and this month in October, no cycle.
So was it like a cycle that you had the bleeding?
That's what I was going to
ask.
Oh,
yes, it definitely was.
Okay. And the associated?
Like heavy flow that I was having when I was perimenopausal
mm-hmm.
before everything stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And did you, let me ask you this, you said you have a history of breast cancer. Were you on a medication like tamoxifen or something like that to after your diagnosis?
Yes, I was on tamoxifen for about 3 months, and then I developed complications from that. So I got a blood clot, DVT, from that.
Oh,
so that
okay.
was why she had me do an ultrasound
mm-hmm.
because of my history. But the ultrasound was found. Fine. I had fibroids, but nothing that's ever bothered me before.
Okay. And you said you were 54?
Yes.
Okay. So, I mean, the question is, if, you know, someone who has history of breast cancer on certain medications, that can stop their period. And so the question would be if you actually stopped your period because of the medication versus if you were actually naturally in menopause. So that would be the question.
Okay. Well, I was only on the tamoxifen for about 3 months.
Okay.
And I had to stop because I developed DVT.
And what year were you on the tamoxifen?
2011.
Oh, okay.
So it was a long time ago.
Okay.
It sounds like she's got a lot of questions for her physician when she finally goes in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, good health to you, Janine, and thank you so much for giving us
thank
a call.
You.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Dr. Ballard, final thoughts from you in this last minute.
So my final thoughts would be 5 ways to ease into perimenopause and menopause with resilience. Number 1, healthy eating. You are what you eat, so eat the rainbow. Number 2, exercise. You want to do 30 minutes at least 5 days a week. Number 3, managing your stress level. Number 4, sleep. You need adequate sleep. And number 5, making you a priority, doing things that you like to do and so basically some alone time.
Well, there you go. Dr. Joyelle Ballard, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
As always, this information will be posted on our website on WHUR.com after 8:30 today. That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141, for this Monday, October 28th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.